It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist.
Welcome back to the show. Sean mentioned in the last segment that he believed Team Canada beat Team USA in the FIBA World Championships in the third-place game. He was right. All thanks to Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks scored 39 points in that third-place game, and they ran away with it in overtime. Team Canada, last time they played the U.S. in anything consequential, at least basketball-wise, they won.
And that's why all the old guys are like,
they're like, all right, that's enough. Like,
we're coming back.
It probably began when they lost to Germany in the semifinal.
Yes, when they lost to the Wagners and Daniel Theis and
Dennis Schroeder. Yeah.
Kevin Durant and LeBron James are texting each other, being like, okay, we cannot let this happen.
Yeah, Steph Curry, you can play. You can play in the Olympics.
No, sir.
It's always like that. An embarrassment happens, then the stars respond. And Schroeder lighting them up in a semifinal game is awful.
It is a little embarrassing. I mean, not for, like, us, but it should be embarrassing for, like, you know, Tyrese Halliburton and the other guys.
And Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards and the guys that were on the team that, like, we're still calling the 35-year-olds to be like, come save us, please, Steph Curry.
And it's not just about because they're big names. It's because we think they'll win because you can't.
Because you guys lost.
Yeah. It ain't about ratings. You guys weren't good enough. Austin Reeves. Well, when Austin Reeves is playing big minutes in a game.
Like, We can't. We didn't send our best.
We can't abide by that.
No.
Paolo Banchero and Austin Reeves losing to Germany.
Paolo Banchero playing backup five, getting waxed by Mo Wagner.
At least let it be Franz. They're both his teammates. You're right. So we'll see what happens in the Olympics. We imagine order will be restored, but we'll see. Hannah McNair and Bob McNair. They were at the owners' meetings, as I've mentioned before. Cal is now your principal owner. Rejoice. He will continue to run the franchise, and it's just now official. There are some statements from Janice McNair and Cal McNair about the proud history, and they mentioned Bob. You can go on the official website and see all that stuff, but Cal is happy to be the owner. A lot of people are attributing the Texan success to his wife, Hannah McNair, and she and Cal were asked about expectations for this upcoming year, and this is what they said.
You want high expectations. You don't want to go into something going, okay, I hope we just make playoffs. Oh, I hope we get to a winning season. You always want the expectations to be high. And I think that the fact that we're in those conversations is a testament that of the decisions that have been being made over the last couple of years. And I couldn't be more proud that Cal's mom wants Cal to lead this team going forward. And I just think that's a testament to the work that has been put in.
Well, this is sort of the same as last year, too, is that we only want to win the next game. So whatever the next game is, we want to win that one. We're going to work hard on and off the field to do that and really put a great team on the field in all positions and have a bunch of leaders, like I said earlier, on the team and go out and play together and have fun doing it and go win.
What's it been like?
It's only one clip, but you can see where the juice comes from. Hannah's like, expectations, we want them. Cal's like, one game at a time, we just want to win the next one. The juice comes from Hannah. She's the big thinker. She's the one talking about, we got a chance to do something special. I do find it funny that she mentioned the last couple years of decisions. You guys were around before then. You guys were around for Easterby. You guys were around for giving Bill O'Brien complete power.
That was Janice.
Yeah, we put it on Janice. It was her fault. I mean, sure, we were in prayer circles with Jack, and he did the runaround, end around to get Casario in when we thought about getting rid of him and Bob or Bill O'Brien, B.O.B. But the last couple of years we're going to talk about, Janice was the one running the team into the ground.
Yeah, she was the one looking the other way while Deshaun Watson was.
You know how there are friendly reporters who they'll go to? I'd be the worst. I was like, what about the years before then where the team was awful and you guys were having that pastor run things.
Yeah, I forgot that last year was Cal McNair's first year running the...
Yeah.
It's so unfortunate how Bob McNair died so recently.
In 2022.
The day before the draft.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah. Never mind. We were a trash heap while you two were in charge. Look, we know. You hire D'Amico Ryans and we're good. And everything's great. You hire D'Amico Ryans, you draft C.J. Stroud, and you're great. And now all your decisions are wonderful. You throw up the H, you leak the new uniforms, or they are leaked, and then you get out the official shot, and everyone loves you. But I haven't forgotten. I remember. I remember those 3 years.
The North remembers.
Yes. ESPN 97.5 remembers, too. I know 610 will have short memories because they have to, but we don't have to.
Mm-mm.
And you can't trick us.
But I am familiar with your game.
Yes.
You cannot trick
yeah.
us. Calvin.
Yeah, I am not the Shaq meme. I'm actually familiar with your game. I know who you are. I know who you've been. But credit to you for turning it around and making the right hires. And hopefully that continues. If you want more stuff to pat yourself on the back about, Stephen Holder is reporting. He's a Colts guy. He's reporting that Danielle Hunter was offered more money to join the Colts and said, nah, I'm good. I want to come home and join the Texans. So if you want to turn that into the Texans have a great organization and he chose them over the Colts, or, you know, the Texans are near where he lives, so he decided to come home. No, it's the first one, right, Sean?
First one.
The great organization attracted him.
Yes.
I'll take less.
He was like, do I want to work for Cal McNair or Jim Irsay?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Throw up the H or pop pills?
Throw up in a toilet after a night of...
See, I should have done... You had it. I should have thrown it to you. Throw up the H or throw up in a toilet. Perfect. Or live in Indianapolis or no state tax in Texas, where the money probably equals out. Yeah. And maybe you come out ahead.
Bury Danielle Hunter in the H.
He might very well be. He is a local guy. That might actually be a real thing that happens. Hopefully 45 to 50 years from now. Let's have Danielle Hunter have a long... fruitful life, and sack a lot of quarterbacks while he's active for the Texans. Damn it, Sean. You got me on that one. Throw up in the toilet or throw up in the air. I'm going to rue that one. He got me.
Can stay up at night.
Damn it. How come I couldn't have gotten there? I went with the cheap popping pills. We should have written that out beforehand.
Yeah,
that would have been better.
We should really script out our entire show.
Script out the nonsense we're going to get to. But the Texans... all good right now, and I guess the next big news besides the draft is the full reveal of the uniforms that'll come in now less than a month or right around a month. So be on the lookout for that. We'll see if they make any more cornerback signings that don't get you excited, like Miles Bryant yesterday, the Nick Caserio guy from his time in New England. Let's try to get back on the clock. I'm blaming Sean, but it's really me. I'm the one keeping us off schedule. We'll get back on the clock. I'm going to ask Sean to defend his wide receiver. I'm going to read some things. If you are a Texan fan and a Texas fan, or you just want the Texans to bolster their wide receiver core, you don't think Nico and Tank are enough, maybe you thought A.D. Mitchell from Texas was a guy you'd be interested in. Well, if you've been looking at draft Twitter, they have an opinion that may dissuade you. We'll see if Sean wants to defend his guy or agree. We'll talk about that on the other side.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. The Texans were in on Keenan Allen. At least Keenan Allen said he had some interest in being a Texan. We know he's a Bear, so that didn't happen, but it speaks to maybe the Texans' need for and their belief that they need a better third wide receiver. Maybe you remember John Metchie as a college player and think now that he's got a year under his belt after his recovery, you think he can be that guy. But maybe wide receiver is some place they look at in the second round because, as you know, they traded away their first round pick to acquire a second, not only a second rounder this year, but a second rounder next year. So, A.D. Mitchell's a guy we've discussed on this show, along with Xavier Worthy. They're local products, at least local enough, both playing at the University of Texas. A.D. Mitchell transferred from Georgia, played at Texas for a year in the draft along with Xavier Worthy. Two different wide receivers. I believe Sean sided with A.D. Mitchell partly to do with size as his preferred option if he was going to take a wide receiver. Now, Draft Twitter's gotten a hold of A.D. Mitchell. They've seen his film, and a lot of it is the film and then a quote, "Tell me what you see here." And it's just alluding to what a guy by the name of Chris Kaufman, who everyone has a podcast, so that's not something to be surprised about, but he's part of a podcast network, and he does draft stuff. He says this: his effort level is an embarrassment. His run after catch simply doesn't exist. He doesn't play to his time speed. Hand issues too. And this is one of those tweets that's not just 200 something characters. It's long enough for like an article.
For Seymour.
Yes. It's
read more or whatever.
That's how long it is. He talks about in the early part of the year, he caught the ball like he had tennis rackets for hands. He said that changed later when focus came, but he isn't a guy he would touch in the second round or the third round. Sean, you watched that guy. You watched him play for your university, make big catches in a playoff game. Would you think this is a harsh criticism, or is it dead on?
I think it's harsh. Yeah, I think it's a bit aggressive. I think it's basically the lowest anyone I've seen is on him, saying I wouldn't touch him in the second or third round, where he's getting mocked to be like first or second rounder.
Let me clear that up. He mentioned a first and a second round pick, so you wouldn't touch him in the first or the second.
Okay, that's still lower because he's supposed to be a first or second round pick. But yeah, I mean, I don't really agree with him. I wonder what he thinks of Xavier Worthy's hands, if he has issues with A.D. Mitchell and his, and not just his hands, but also his, I guess, how he runs routes. Because Xavier Worthy was the guy who,
dropped wide open,
dropped him, or wouldn't exactly like fight through a like misthrown ball to like really go after it. He would just kind of like watch it hit the ground. I don't agree that he has tennis. You know what, Dell? I don't agree that he has tennis rackets for hands.
Well, he didn't say he has tennis rackets for hands. He says he caught the ball like he has tennis rackets for hands.
I disagree. Okay. I think he caught the ball like he had human
hands. He says lots of double clutches. Ball would constantly hit his helmet, face mask, body, or get to his wrist before he started to secure. Not a natural hands catcher is a cleaner way and maybe a more polite way of saying that. But you don't agree.
No.
I
thought he caught the ball.
And it's not burnt orange glasses that you're seeing him as.
No, because
seeing him with.
Yeah, because like there's other guys that I'm like, I kind of get why he's not going to be drafted that high. But Christian Jones.
So you
enjoy being on the practice squad.
So while Chris Kaufman's words are bleak, if you are a fan of A.D. Mitchell, he's not alone. I mean, I brought it up with Lance, and he thought his effort was a problem. Let's remove the tennis racket thing, because apparently that's what you're stuck on. What about what about the lack of effort?
Yeah, that is something that I feel like is just, it's a thing that you can get away with in college when you're one of the best players on the field, and then in the NFL when, you know, you're supposed to be a late first round draft pick, so you're probably gonna get drafted by a really good team with a really good quarterback. Maybe Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen goes, "Hey, stop cheating on your routes, or go full speed on your routes. You never know. I might throw it to you, even though this play isn't drawn up for you."
Do you know who I am?
I'm Pat Mahomes.
I don't know.
The ball might find you.
Have you met me? Do you know what I do?
And A.D. Mitchell did. I think it was at the combine or something. He had a quote being like, "Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and I'm cheating on all my routes."
they ask you to run the routes as they're designed and how you run them in practice. Don't cheat on routes. That's a thing. I ain't a quarterback, but I know quarterbacks don't like that. Do not cheat on the routes. It makes them look bad if you're not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think he, you know, obviously I don't think he's the Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. or yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. class. I don't know why I was going to call him Marvin Harrison Sr. That was where I was like,
that's a name you don't mention.
Yeah, sorry.
Just look it up. Just look up Marvin Harrison and what he's about. People don't like mentioning his name because they think he's Baba Yaga.
Is that why people aren't upset that Junior didn't run at the combine or pro day?
They know what
and
that
he doesn't have an agent.
They've heard of
implying who his agent is.
They heard of his dad.
They're like, you know what? Not a character concern.
We're not interested in criticizing Junior because we know who dad is.
Lamar Jackson, he needs an agent. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's good with that one.
Yeah, we're fine. Marvin's been in the league. His dad's been in the league. He understands. He'll walk him through everything. We're okay. No concerns.
Yeah, but back to A.D. Mitchell. Yeah, I don't think he's like one of those like can't-miss first-rounders, like, oh, my God, you know, he should go top five kind of thing. But I would love to see, like, who else, like, in every big game, A.D. Mitchell comes up big. Like, when he has, like, five or six touchdown catches.
In playoff games,
in playoff
right?
games. Yeah. So, every playoff game, he catches a touchdown. He caught one against Washington. He arguably could have caught another one if Quinn Ewers puts it on him.
Yeah, but when he's not catching touchdown passes, he's lazy.
Yeah, when he's not
when the ball's not for going his way, he's lazy as hell. That's the criticism.
Catching touchdown passes against Alabama in the national championship.
That's just
game.
A couple plays, Sean. When he's not being targeted, he's terrible out there. Those are the criticisms.
And all the plays that he doesn't have the ball. He's
yes,
terrible.
He's terrible. He's not running hard enough when he knows the ball's not coming his way, and people are upset by that. We'll see if a team loves him more than the draft critics. At least online draft critics, and we'll see where he goes. But I just found it interesting because we've talked about him in the past, and now once beyond like the Lance Zierlein of the world who have to do this for a living, the guys who are trying to build a following and it's not their main job have gotten hold of him. They're like, ugh,
yeah,
no good. Stay away from him.
I also think some of this is like just like the draft calendar.
Yeah,
we're just every once in a while.
We're
just,
deep in the March.
Yeah,
he's the main character today.
Yeah, exactly. The Eye of Sauron just locks in on one person.
He put the ring on, Sean.
Don't put the ring on.
We told you, AD.
Caleb Williams, what color is that phone case?
Yeah, he definitely put the ring on at the USC game. People are all over him. Apparently, the word is zesty. I found that out this morning because zesty is just another way to call someone something without getting canceled. We're just going to call him zesty.
It's a way to talk around it.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
when you call someone zesty.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'm going to dance around what I was going to say. Forget it. It's not worth it. I mean, I could have said it. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but it's not worth it. I've learned my lesson about saying things I don't have to say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, late last week was a little rough. Rich Eisen probably said something he shouldn't have said. We're going to play that sound on the other side. Rich Eisen interviewed one of the stars of the tournament. We talk about lack of star power. DJ Burns is making himself a star. He's the center for NC State. They're on a remarkable run. They won five games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament. They were a bid stealer. Now they're in the Sweet 16. We're going to hear – it's very short. Not a lot of content, but – Rich Eisen said something he probably shouldn't have phrased it this way, and you'll hear DJ's response, and he recognized it, and maybe an apology should have been in order. We'll play that when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
Welcome back. When DJ Burns was on a team destined for the NIT, maybe, he was a guy who was making money owning vending machines. That was his side hustle. Now he's the star center on a North Carolina State team that's in the Sweet 16, which means you're going to get interviewed, particularly because of how they've made it. I ran it down in the previous segment. Winning the ACC tournament, stealing a bid, now they're in the Sweet 16, and he's a big guy. He doesn't look like what a traditional NBA big man or college big man looks like today. He's not lean. He uses his weight to impose his will. And if he gets you, if he gets you on his back, you're not keeping him out of the paint. And you're not keeping him away from rim. He just has overwhelming size. There was one clip after one of their tournament wins where someone handed him ice cream, and he was like, thanks. And then he handed it. It was like a reporter. They handed him ice cream, or the person interviewing him handed him ice cream, and he tried to find someone to give it to.
Yeah, because they did some story about how after every game, NC State, like,
has an ice cream party or something?
Yeah, has ice cream.
Okay.
And so the CBS or whatever, True TV crew, after one of their wins, was like, hey, and we didn't want you to have to wait for the ice cream, DJ. Here's some ice cream. And yeah, he was like, yeah, cool.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and he just walked away and like handed it to the first person he saw.
Yeah. So his weight is a topic of a conversation just because he isn't lean, and it's fine. He's a good basketball player, and he's an important part of a team who's on a remarkable run. Well, because of the story, he did a hit with Rich Eisen. I love the way we do it today, where you got to go somewhere, we'll just do the Zoom in your car. And that's how the interview was held, because video is very important. Rich Eisen has a TV show, so he wanted DJ Burns on Zoom. So he did that, but Rich Eisen asked him a question that fell flat, and you can listen to DJ Burns' response.
And then when did you put on the weight? When did that happen?
Sir?
When did you put on the weight? When did you become... What was next, Rich?
I really wish... What was after when did you become...
When did you become...
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
What adjectives was he going to use next to describe DJ Burns?
When did you become a fatty?
Yeah, when did you decide that being in shape wasn't a priority? Rich Eisen's been in the game a long time. And look, I'm playing up what I found on Twitter. I'm not sure how he ended that question, so maybe he cleaned it up. But I don't. Why would you start there? He's on a team that's in the Sweet 16. Ask him. I'm sure he got to the 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament, winning 2 games on the first weekend. But DJ Burns will probably have to deal with the weight questions for a long time. Until he slims down, I guess.
Do you think he told or he asked him about the vending machine thing?
I'm sure the whole story was gotten to, but that's the clip that people grabbed.
Do you think he was like, so when you're running vending machines, you ever get high on your own supply? You know,
DJ, in the drug game, they say you don't get high. But your game is vending machines. So Are you staying away from the Snickers?
Were the honey buns coming up light on
all
day? Yeah,
the cheese danishes?
Some fell off the back of the truck.
Yeah. Leave that man alone. The story is NC State's won 7 games in a row to be one of the final 16 teams in college basketball, at least on the men's side. That's the story. But I guess if you're a big dude, they're going to ask you about your weight. And look, he's a big guy. But I think Rich Eisen, if he had to do it all over again, doesn't go, hey, when'd you get fat?
When did that happen?
That's my favorite part.
When did that happen?
I guess.
At some point, he knew he was in an awkward spot. And then he's like, yeah, but I still want the answer to this question. Tell me, when did that happen?
Do you think there's like an AAU picture of DJ Burns where he's looking like Chet Holmgren? Like, I assume.
The likely scenario is he was a bigger dude and NC State has slimmed him down to make him a guy you can play. I bet you if we look back over, if we had a side-by-side since he's been there, he transferred from Winthrop. I'm looking at a picture of him at Winthrop. He was a big guy at Winthrop. He is 23 years old. And he's always been big, and I'm sure he was big in high school, too.
When did that happen?
Well, Rich, now that you ask, I was 12. And
my parents got divorced. And
yeah, and to cope with the anxiety of not knowing where I was going to be from weekend to weekend, I latched on to Haagen-Dazs. What are we doing?
My dad felt bad that he only got to see me once every other weekend. So he took us out for ice cream all the time.
So he's transferred a couple of times. He was at Tennessee. He was at Winthrop. And now he's at NC State. The Tennessee picture, oh, he's a young guy. He's just got the braces on, so he's probably a freshman. He was a little skinnier, but so maybe it happened at Winthrop. Now that you ask, it actually happened at Winthrop. The training table wasn't great. We had to fend for ourselves. Not a lot of money being put into the program.
Our team meals were McDonald's
and Popeyes or whatever, fried chicken and hamburgers. That's what led me there. He's always been a big guy, but probably you look at him as a freshman, and you can see there's been some development as far as maybe weight gain, and it looks like between Tennessee and Winthrop. So maybe, Rich, do your research. What if he was like, well, it's obvious, Rich, Winthrop. You see me at Tennessee. I was kind of skinny. He wasn't kind of skinny. He was 6'9", 272 pounds. But, yeah, DJ Burns, watch him. His NC State team has a chance to make a surprise run to the Final Four.
And, sir.
Sir. That's the one that struck me where it was like, what? What are we doing here? Huh? How do you want me to answer that?
When'd you put on the
weight? Wouldn't you get – he's like if Rich Eisen was more Granato, he'd be like, hey, when'd you get fat? When did that happen?
When did you notice – that slight. You're fat.
Yeah.
That's how Granato would do it.
Yeah.
Because he would try to ask it like a real question.
But then he would realize, I'm just going to ask it the way I want to ask it.
At least Eisen was like, when did you put on the weight?
When did you put on the weight? When did that happen? Come on. Shout out to DJ Burns. One of the better stories in college basketball right now. And along with his NC State team. And as long as he keeps playing, his weight will be a story. But hopefully, if they got Marquette on Friday, that's obviously being the 11th seed, you're not even expected to be there. But they'll see the 2 seed on Friday. I think that game kind of tips off before the Cougs game does, as far as the scheduling is concerned. So you can watch him play. If you're getting ready to watch the Cougs play, you can watch him play before. I don't have much hope for NC State, but hey. You win 7 in a row. Don't count them out now. When did that happen? Shout out to Rich Eisen for trying to be as kind as possible. We mentioned this name yesterday. Jordan Montgomery. Sean and I talked about Scott Boras' clients and not getting the deals they want. And would Jordan Montgomery be on a roster before the season started? And the answer is yes. He signs with the D-backs. He joins a D-backs team who was in the World Series last year. He strengthens their rotation and their roster overall. Now, they're in the division with the Dodgers, so it will be an uphill climb if you believe everyone who's analyzed Major League Baseball as far as predictions are concerned. But he goes from the world champions to the team he beat in that World Series. 1 year, $25 million. So the Scott Boras pushback from the owners continues. We know Blake Snell didn't get the deal he wanted. He'll be fine. No one's crying over Blake Snell and the contract he got, but he didn't get a long-term deal, and he probably didn't get it at the price point he wanted, and you can probably say the same for Jordan Montgomery. 1 year, $25 million. It's a vesting player option for the second season. So if you are a person who doesn't like Scott Boras, the owners, I don't know why you side with the owners on anything, but the owners have decided no more from you, Scott. You're not bullying us anymore. And Jordan Montgomery does get signed. We'll see when he's available to pitch for the NL champions. We got one more segment to go here. I did want to ask Sean a question, and I can give my own opinion on this, regarding Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher, no longer the Aggies coach, but still wearing Aggies gear. So the question is, and Sean, you get the break to ponder. Think about the last time you had to wear, it's not team-issued, but work-issued gear. You know, when you graduate to a job where you don't have to wear what the company provides, it's like you take a step. Even if it's like retail or it's a part-time job, when you're no longer wearing the T-shirt with the logo from the company you work for, you're like, okay, I feel good. Like, I worked at a pizza place. And those shirts had a logo on it, and they get greasy because obviously you're working at a restaurant. And then when I worked at a Barnes & Noble, I was like, all right, I can wear my own clothes to work. That was a step. So Jimbo Fisher's not wearing his own clothes to work out. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Sean, did you ever have to wear company-issue gear to work? Like, put on this t-shirt because this is what all our employees wear.
No, I never worked at a place that made me do that.
Huh. So, I don't know if you...
I never worked at, like, fast food.
A restaurant or anything like that. So, I don't know if you're unique in that regard, but I did. As I mentioned, I worked at a pizza place, put on the t-shirt. I worked at a Main Event, which is an indoor kids entertainment place.
It's like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, pretty much. Put on the t-shirt. I've done that. Or the collared shirt in their case.
Whoa.
What an ugly shirt it was. Now, on multiple iterations, but they asked you to put on a shirt, one of their shirts. Jimbo Fisher is no longer the A&M head coach. That job belongs to Mike Elko now. But he is still wearing A&M gear. I'm not sure why anyone decided they need to take a picture of Jimbo Fisher at her Planet Fitness and put it on the internet.
Well, to me, the one interesting part of it is the fact that he's at a Planet Fitness.
Don't you have your own home gym, Jimbo? What are you spending that money on? You got all the money in the world. You're going to a public gym?
Even if you're going to a public gym.
Planet Fitness?
Yeah, Planet Fitness.
Jimbo, you're in a different tax bracket. What are we doing? But he's got his A&M sweats on.
What car is he driving to Planet Fitness?
I know to fit in at Texas A&M, I'm sure he had a big pickup truck. I'm not sure if that's the truck of his choosing. Yeah. But I don't know. Jimbo Fisher out of Planet Fitness, and he was decked out in Aggie sweats. Look, man, I know you got. I don't know if I'm wearing stuff from the place if they fired me. Look, it's at a different level for me. Speaking of that, a tie into this place. It's not about me. It's about Richard Justice. Richard Justice, if people who don't know, used to be a part of 1560. I don't know if he was here when it became 97.5. He might have. No, probably not. He's still, you know, longtime Chronicle writer. Legendary writer here in town. Richard and I wouldn't classify us as friends because I'm not friends with anyone, but we had a working relationship where we would talk when he came in. So when he and 1560 had their parting of ways, he sent back all of his station t-shirts, which you might think, why would you do that? I mean, we get not wearing them anymore. You don't work here, but why would you send them back? He put them in a box after washing them and addressed them to me. I didn't know we were close, but maybe we were. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with all his t-shirts. And if you want to send them back, like, the box came in and it was addressed to me. And I opened the box. Oh, it was from Richie. It's all of his station t-shirts. So he is not like Jimbo Fisher.
No.
He would not wear all of these old stuff from A&M if he worked there.
Why was it addressed?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Maybe he wanted to kill him? Did you wear the same size as Richard Justice? Is that what it was?
Even
like
still,
sized you up?
Even still, he's not Goodwill. If I wanted a t-shirt, from this place, I'd just go grab one. I wouldn't need him to give me one. I was still an employee at the time. And I haven't been, and I have been on different occasions. But at the time, I was still an employee. I am trying to remember if he sent them to me, if he mailed them to this place, or he left them and had my name on it. Either way, I think he mailed them. But either way.
That's great.
Either way, why am I being given a box of old t-shirts? I just brought it up because he and Jimbo are opposites in multiple ways. Richard is a University of Texas guy. Jimbo coached at A&M. And Richard Justice would not be wearing old gear from A&M if he had worked there and they had dismissed him.
No, he would have mailed it to, I don't know. Moose Muhammad. I don't
know. And that's my equivalent at A&M. I was going to go maybe a grad assistant or something.
Connor Wegman.
Particularly at that time. I was probably whoever the grad assistant would have been. That's my equivalent. This was over a decade ago, I think. I just still remember the story, or
the
at least the memory. I still have the memory of, oh, Richie sent me something. This is great. What am I going to do with these?
How many t-shirts did he have?
He had been at 1560 since the beginning, so he had collected several. It was at least probably five or six, maybe more. I don't remember. It was just all short shirts he had worn.
He washed them,
but still, was he donating them to me like I'm the Salvation Army? Well, was I supposed to hand them out or wear them?
You did say that you were just starting out, so, you know, maybe.
I mean, I had been there for a bit, enough for him to know me well enough, I guess, to send me shirts. But yeah. I don't think he was sending them to me because...
out of the goodness of his...
because he wanted me to have the shirts. I think he was proving a point, and I was an employee that... and maybe I was just the first name he thought of when he put it on the... when he was writing all the stuff to out. I got a box of old T-shirts.
I don't really get the point that he's trying to make.
I didn't either, and I'm the, and I received them. I don't know. I think I just left them on the side someplace. I didn't take them home or anything. But Jimbo would not do that. He keeps his stuff.
No, Jimbo, he's still rocking it. I will say I do understand from Jimbo Fisher, because you think Jimbo Fisher is the hell. He's in his 50s, maybe even 60.
So someone texted me. He sent them to you like you're an African country. I can read it. I can read it. And the person I know is a funny guy, but I mean, it's like he lost the Super Bowl and he had leftover stuff he needed to send someplace. It's true.
I don't know. I don't know what he was trying.
I don't know either.
Because, yeah, at first I thought he was being nice. Now I'm thinking, was he not being nice?
I don't think he was being nice. I think, if I'm going to break this nonsense down from about a decade ago, I think he was just sending shirts back to the station, and my name was the first one he thought of to write it on the address. That's my gracious way of explaining it.
That he was just like, Who do I put a name?
I got to put a name on these.
Put it in Gal Media.
But the other thing is, why are you sending old shirts back?
Yeah, yeah. But I do get it for Jimbo Fisher. Just because, like, when's the last, like, he's literally always had a job on a team.
It's true.
From probably since he was, like, a grad assistant himself. Like, he's always just gotten free Florida State stuff, free before LSU stuff.
Yeah.
Free, and then free Texas A&M stuff. And he probably doesn't have workout clothes that aren't team issued. Again, I don't know why we're seeing him work out.
He could have a
gym at his house.
Yeah, I don't know where he lives. I assume it's not College Station anymore. I'm assuming he moved to a more hospitable area. I don't know if him walking to the Dixie Chicken would have been great for him. Seeing him walk in the last couple months, I'm not sure he would have. You know, to be honest with you, I bet you if he walked in, people would have welcomed him. That's just how it goes. Now that you're not a problem for them anymore, like, he's not getting yelled at in the street by A&M people, right? Like, A&M people are going, get out of here, Jimbo. They've already fired him. They've won this battle. Unless he was a tyrant and we don't know about it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I could see it going either way. I think it depends on the ag.
And the time of night?
Yeah, that's also part of it.
Yeah.
I think he's good while the sun's up.
Like, if he walked in
the sun's down, he's got to yeah. get out of there.
Like, if he walked in the lanes and he wanted some chicken fingers.
Maybe.
I think he'd be okay.
Yeah.
I think.
Don't wear team-issued gear.
Yeah, don't do that.
that would have been the
wear
problem.
Your own clothes. And maybe put the cowboy hat away. Because Jimbo only wore cowboy hats, like, I think, in his initial press conference. I'm not sure he wore them all the time anyway. He had to play to the crowd. But Jimbo Fisher, out of the Planet Fitness. Who's taking pictures of Jimbo Fisher? Who cares?
No, I defend that.
You do?
I defend that. If you're working out and you look up from, I don't know.
I'm not taking a picture.
No, but you just see. Is that Jimbo Fisher?
Like, if you want to. I guess the thing is, if you're sending it to someone you know,
yeah.
and you're like, look, this is Jimbo Fisher, okay, I get that.
And then that guy.
And maybe that person makes it a public thing. But
yeah, but if you're working out and you're like, is that Manny Diaz on the squat rack right now? You would sneak a pic.
I would never.
No.
I would never do that.
Wait, is that, I don't know, Randy Shannon?
No. Stop naming failed Miami coaches I would never take pictures of.
Is that Al Golden?
Are you taking a picture?
Is that Al Golden in a suit and tie working out?
We talk about a guy who will be on the squat rack. Are you taking a picture of Charlie Strong?
Maybe. Not mid-squat.
That's weird. Because it's weird.
That'd be weird.
But if he was in a cooling down period, are you taking a picture of Charlie Strong at a Planet Fitness?
I might ask for a picture with him.
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to take a picture of Jimbo Fisher, I'm not Charlie Strong.
You're the coach for most of my time at Texas.
Yeah, and that might make some sense.
And I don't want to shank you right now. Can you take a picture?
I mean,
because you're not the coach anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about you anymore, ruining my Saturdays. I probably get taking a picture with him, but of
sneaking
him
sneaking a picture of him
like it's a blurry picture. and then it gets posted on the internet.
It honestly only kind of looks, or not only kind of looks like Jimbo Fisher, but it's not like, it is a blurry picture of Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, someone was sneaking a pic while Jimbo was working out at Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness in his team-issued gear.
I think no one's at fault here, other than Jimbo Fisher for being at Planet Fitness.
See, that man just wanted to be amongst the people working out, and he's got some paparazzi type, some fan. Hey, let me sneak a picture. I'm being facetious. Some random person taking a picture of him because he happened to be there. But your point remains. You should have your own personal gym, Jimbo.
I do wonder where is he? Where in the world does he live? Because he can't live in Tallahassee. He can't live in College Station. Or he could, but he probably should move if he wants to live a calm life.
Like, where would a ex-coach who's got a lot of money, he wouldn't live in a town where he was just fired in. He wouldn't live there. He's from West Virginia. Would he go back to West Virginia to live? Where do retired or slash fired coaches with a lot of money go live?
Yeah, because, like, Nick Saban can just live in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, he can do that. Because they generally live in college towns that they're not only there because of the job. Do you stay there after you don't stay there after you're fired? Where do you go?
Yeah, when you leave on bad terms, but you don't actually have a job.
Because your vacation home isn't really a vacation home. It's in the town because you're always recruiting. You're never really out of the place for like only a month or two of the year.
Maybe it is like just the lake house that he lives in.
Yeah, maybe he picked a nice lake house in West Virginia. That's where he goes. And then he decided, why build a gym? There's a Planet Fitness right down the street. I'm just going to go there.
How much a month? Oh, yeah, I got that.
In spades. We are done for the day. If you know where Jimbo Fisher lives, let us know. That's the mystery we want to solve. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.